Winston Peters in for a cordial about all manner of issues. But I do note that he's got a public meeting on tomorrow. It's at the Mount Albert War Memorial Hall. Should you like to go and spend some time with him, it's at 2 o'clock. He's with us today, though. Thanks for joining us. It's Tukana Tenakwe, Winston.
Kia ora,
Dale. Kia ora. Good to talk with you. You'd understand, being a rural guy, how important this forestry sector is to us going forward. And I've spoken with Chris Cuttermere-Inslee, a little flick at it too, with Tauno. It's to do with the emissions trading scheme. I'm curious about your attitude to that. And it's to do with planting exotics on marginal land, Winston. And it's almost as though Māori foresters or Māori landowners are being directed to do so and not necessarily wanting to. Any thoughts in that area to start us off?
Look, the reforestation of New Zealand is the right tree in the right place. That's the key to it here. And a lot of that means that we should be planting native trees, particularly when you've got that kind of slippage we've got all around some parts of the country at the moment. And so we have to have the right tree for the right place and the right incentives to do so, and to provide the long-term employment and also stability. When you talk about things like worry about climate change, put aside climate change itself, the fact that it just makes common sense. And in fact, here comes the real point. Had we not cut down the trees in the early days of European settlement, and this is a fact, it would have been a bit like Nauru Island. We wouldn't have to work at all if we were selectively logging, so to speak. You can't go back to the past, but what you can do is correct the mistakes of the past, but it's got to be the right tree in the right place. And pine trees, in many cases, are not the right tree by a long shot.
Kia ora. Law and order still looming as the hot topic going into the election. It's an issue to you. Is it the major issue? Do you sense that it's going to be front and centre of people's minds when they decide which box to tick?
It'll be a big issue because it is a big issue. You can't have, a jewellery shop owner that has had about 45 ram raids in this country and one in Canada and one in, I think, one part of Europe. That's about it. So we've got right out of hand at the moment, and we need a real game changer and a reset in the context that we can get, and we have already got far more police. But we've got to change society itself because there's just too much dramatically going wrong. And the case up in Kaikoura is a classic of the day. It's so sad that this person who's being charged was only six doors away. This had to be foreseeable. And now I've got a recent case. I haven't disclosed it. But this person was behaving in a way that should have been to the authorities utterly foreseeable, and they did nothing. In fact, he got bailed back to the same place, even though families around where he was living were complaining about his behavior. And we have got to change our thinking about this. And people who, no matter what their ethnic background, no matter where they live, age or is not important either, they've got to be able to feel safe in their streets and in their homes. This is a fundamental, critical responsibility of any politician. It's the first responsibility is the safety and security of their people, and it's not happening.
Tenakwe, Winston, what about voting age to 16, four-year terms? And the other one I've seen bandied around is the threshold for representation moved from 5 to 3.5%. They're just ideas surfacing out of Wellington. And can you comment on one or t'other of those?
Well, the four-year term is never going to happen unless all the political parties agree, and then, only when they agree, put it to the people of this country who will decide whether it's a good idea or not. Because every time you go to a referendum on it, we always lose. Because everybody on the left who's frightened of the right winning votes for 3 years, and everybody on the right that's frightened of the left voting votes for 3 years. And so you've got a massive majority against you, born of fear, not of confidence, before you start. So that was a sound part of their thinking. But as for 3.5% as a threshold, that is a model for instability massively. Like it, that was going on in Italy, where they were changing the government every year because of the instability, and they had a very low threshold. And when they went to the German threshold, they started to stabilize their governments. And we've got the same threshold as the German system on which we are based at 5%. And as a party that's been the victim of not making 5%, our belief has always been, and we've said it for the umpteenth time, that if you can't crack 5%, then look in the mirror, stop blaming the system.
Thank you. Should some feel guilty? I say that you comment about sickly white liberal guilt. Can you talk about that for a moment?
Well, if you look at that report that came in from this group of people about the electoral law changes was different from the 1986 commission and different from the 2010 one in the sense that they just came up with these ideas and floated them as being things that we have to do. And when I looked at it, I thought, where's the base for what they're saying? We have, with all our faults, a democracy that is the oldest in the world. If you look at about the fact that women were given a vote in 1893, and the Maori seat started in 1867, a long time back. And with MMP, we've got more representation with Maori background than even the numbers of our population who are Maori in the real context. So here they come along, don't seem to understand that, and think somehow that they should fiddle with the way the system is. We have not one of the great the only nine democracies in the world with the age we've got by accident. So, as Ronald Reagan used to say, if it ain't broke, why are you trying to fix it?
Kia ora, it's a big day for Auckland Council, and your mate Wayne is in here, and he wants to sell the shares off. I'm assuming he's your mate, that he wants to sell the shares off to the airport. And then you've got the Michael Woods saga too. Seemingly bought some shares as a young bloke and good on him, but after a dozen or so warnings to get rid of them, didn't. He's been sort of pushed aside. But it's a very contentious issue, this selling off of the shares. Well, I spoke to Alfred one recently too, Winston. He says, you know, all those shares were bought by Manukau City Council. And so you think that the sell-off of the shares, is that going to benefit the south side who really had the foresight to invest in them? Or were they a dog as far as an investment is concerned? The whole's 400 mil, but the sell-off could be 2.3 bill. What's going on from your read?
Well, when we say that, the reality is the Super City did not put one cent into it. They inherited them. So it was a gift. The second thing is it paying a dividend, and is a dividend enough? Well, that's a good question. But one of our great problems as a country is that, unlike Singapore and smart countries, we so much of our ownership of what you might call added value, the added value that goes when somebody lands at an airport is going to, if we sell this airport, it's already substantially going to some other economy. And the reason why New Zealand is going nowhere fast is that so much of what we used to own is now in the hands of an international economy that gets the most of the added value before we get our share. And so I'm not for selling the airport. What I am for saying, though, is that we had a mayor come into power, that's Wayne Brown, inheriting an absolute mess. And we should be asking ourselves, who built that mess over the last 10 years? And no one's asking the real questions. How did we have a city of sails become a city of snails and a city of cones and blockages everywhere? Just that won't work.
Gough.
Yes, and before that, Brown. Another Brown, remember?
That's right, that Brown. Gee, but a lot of brown guys running the show, but not too many, what I'm saying, not too many Māori or Pacific, just a lot of Browns.
Well, my point is that we had all this bull dust going down about the most livable city in the world, the city of sales, and as was happening, the massive population movement to Auckland with no infrastructure, no roading, no housing, no schools, no hospitals, all the strains are in Auckland. And I hope that your listeners are paying attention and saying to themselves, well, how did this mess happen and who was responsible before they start talking about the future? Because if we keep on making the same mistakes, this is going to be, and it already is, a massively gridlocked city. And where you're going to now, just to make sure we can't get on top of it, bring in 100,000 new immigrants this year alone, of which 70% will come to Auckland. And so if you're trying to get a house in Auckland or get onto infrastructure, then you're going to be competing against a whole lot more coming in, most of whom, as the OECD said, are not the skilled immigrants you want. We always need immigrants in this country to fill the gaps we haven't got. But that's not what's coming now. This is a wholesale mess. You recall, in 2017, the Labour Party campaign, when they saw what we were doing, they campaigned to massively reduce and have a more focused immigration policy. And without telling anybody over the last year, they've just opened the floodgates. And here comes the big problem for Auckland.
Well, it's frustrating. Heaps of Aucklanders, Winston, are eyeballing Dargaville as an alternative. Don't worry about that. Listen, you've got co-governance, three waters, separatism. They're all pretty heavy stuff. This is on your hui tomorrow. You're welcome to go along to support or heckle Winston. He'll take all comers. There's no problem. So that gets underway at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon at Mount Albert. You go pretty well at that venue, don't you, Winston?
Well, it's another trip down memory lane. It's a chance to remind the older people of this country in particular, those who are getting near 65 and over 65, who you can trust when it comes to superannuation, because as you and I all know, the moment governments get into trouble, and I've watched Labor and National do it over and over again, when they get into trouble with the economy, the first people they attack are the old and the very young. And our job is to make sure that does not happen.
Well, I was told over the weekend, as we laid to rest, one of my aunties, she used to have a shrine to you. She thought you were the best thing since sliced bread, because she was able to catch buses for free, but then sadly ended up with dementia and ended up jumping on all sorts of buses, which took her to the wrong places. But that's another story. We won't go into it. All right, Winston, thanks for sharing some cordial with us today.
Thank you very much.
Okay, all the best. I look forward to our next cordial.